friends that have 3 to 4 million followers, they can't even pay their bills. I'm just like, oh, it breaks my heart. And they're on living their life through a lens. Mm-hmm. And they're so stressed out because they're like paycheck, less than bill to bill, I guess. Wow. And they have this huge following. They just have never learned to monetize it. And I'm like,
finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over 11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as us entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey towards 100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
What's going on, everyone? It's Steve Larson. Welcome to another episode of Sales Funnel Radio. I am excited because today I have a great guest on with me today, someone who's a personal friend, someone I look up to like crazy. Absolutely love her audience as well. And everyone that she's touched and heard the lives. Like anytime I go, I know I'm talking to you now and I haven't even brought you in yet. Everyone, welcome Allison Prince to the show.
Yay. I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for
inviting me. I am so excited that you're here. And what I was saying is I love every time I get to interact with anyone, whether it's you or your company, there's just this, you have built a true community and it's really inspiring. It's awesome.
I love it. And I think I've learned that over the years, like no matter what I sell, it doesn't matter. It's the people and it's the people's lives I've changed, whether it's been cupcake liners or whether it's been necklaces or courses. Like I'm so focused on my students or my customers' results that's what I have become obsessed with. Right. And then you hear their stories and how can you not let that affect you? And then I have folders of people's testimonials. When we did e-commerce, we'd always put a Laffy Taffy in their packages because I was shipping some sugar and a smile. I would get messages back from the husbands that would say, I don't care how much my wife orders from you as long as I get the Laffy Taffy. And so we would send them packages of Laffy Taffy just as like a bonus because we truly believe, like our whole team, I believe it's all about humans and how you can change and impact their lives, make it better.
I mean, it shows every time. It's super fun. And I just love, anyway, grateful for the chance to have you here. And you're speaking at Offer Launch. Excited for that as well. And
ooh, countdown's on. Countdown's on. Yeah. Okay, so I just have to put a plug in for you. Can I go right back and tell everybody how cool you are, even though they already know? Like, if you're not subscribed, downloading this podcast, you're crazy. Because I remember this was before I had my podcast. You talked to me for 2 years. And trying to convince me to start my podcast. I know, I got a hard head sometimes. But I would go back and I would listen to your podcast every single week. And some of the lessons that you taught me in those podcasts still have stuck with me forever. And I love that I can go back to those. Like they were so crucial in a lot of the decisions that I made. You are a true thought leader. And when I was stepping into this space, like I sold e-commerce. I didn't teach. Like I hid behind the computer screen. And I really love how you instill just so much confidence in me and so much clarity in me through your podcast. So like you're crazy if you're not subscribed, downloading, taking notes, listening to this podcast, because it's so good.
I appreciate that. Yeah, thank you very much. that means a lot. Yeah, I love it. This is my love language is teaching.
And there was one that you taught me and I threw back in your face, just going to say. That you're like, I'm thinking about doing this, this, and this. And I'm like, no. Go back to the episode. And it was one where you were in Las Vegas and you were getting on an airplane or no, a helicopter to go on a helicopter ride. And the guy handed you his business card. And he's like, oh, and I cater and I drive and I throw parties and
I forgot about that.
A list of like 15 things. And you're like, dude, I'm so confused at what you do. And you're like, just create clarity. If I would have known he was a helicopter guy, it would have been so much easier and so much clearer on what he was doing. And so I took that to heart. And even though I own multiple businesses in multiple areas, when I came out and started coaching, I just chose one. I just wanted to be known as one, not the affiliate stuff that I do. And I have a huge affiliate business. I never talk about that, right? I never talk about like coaching. I just talk about e-commerce. And that podcast was vital, I think, to the success that I've had. Because I wasn't going in a million different directions. So thank you. I don't know what episode that was, but it was a good one.
That was a long time ago. I remember that. Yeah. It was like 500 episodes ago or something.
Yeah, it was. It was like 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah. Well, you have a lot of businesses. I mean,
I do.
And but not like, not like the I'm not trying to slam anyone in the info, you know, and funnel and internet marketing space, but there's a lot of people who build they have a lot of products and they don't really ever take it to a business. You know what I mean? But you have a lot of businesses and things that are successfully running and have been at it for a while. But how have you, well, one, I'd like to actually, if you wouldn't mind, just share a little backstory on like how you got started and how you get those off the ground. Cause I think it looks like magic to people where they're like, I have to have a list. People have to know who I am. I need internet fame, brand. You know what I'm saying? There's this like, to be an influencer now equals internet success, when it doesn't at all.
Mm-mm. I have friends that have 3 to 4 million followers. They can't even pay their bills. I'm just like, oh, it breaks my heart. And they're on living their life through a lens. And they're so stressed out because they're like less than bill to bill, I guess. Wow. And they have this huge following. They just have never learned to monetize it. And I'm like, oh, I got to introduce you to people. You got to get going on this. Okay. So I first started, I was a junior high school teacher. Yep. Mm-hmm. I taught math and science. Mrs. Prince, room 104, I think. I did have an iguana that died in the classroom. I didn't notice for 4 days later. Yeah. It was fun when we got to talk about rigor mortis, when the janitor came in and picked up the den thing. But I worked an entire month with a dead iguana in my classroom. Didn't even realize. And they gave my paycheck and I looked at it and I said, is this for a week? And they said, oh, no, no, honey, that's for an entire month. And it was at that moment that I realized that I qualified for government assistance. I had a newborn baby. My husband was in school full time. I was a breadwinner at that point. And I just felt like I'd been slapped in the face, right? You go to school, they tell you financial security. And we all know that's a lie now. Like, it is becoming such a topic of conversation that you still have to study how to make money, no matter what you go to school in, right? Yeah. Like, I had a doctor friend the other day get mad at me. I was like, I'm so annoyed that you make more money than me. I was like, well, I'm not annoyed that I can't do a surgery. You studied how to do surgery. I studied how to create money. So you can't compare, right? I've just done something different. Yeah. And as soon as I told them that, they're like, oh, okay, that makes sense. Yeah. But yeah, we do have to put in the time. I've been in this business for almost 15 years, which is dating me. I know, but I love it. I love it so much. And I think I've learned through the years, like how to launch. You don't have to have anything fancy to launch. You don't have to have a social media. Like my first business, I didn't even know what Facebook was. What? Another business that I launched, I was like, I'm not going to do Instagram. That sucks. Right? You don't have to have that stuff. No. And then the tools now that we have to automate our businesses, because, okay, can we just say life, just living is hard, right? Some days, honestly, I wake up and I'm like, I don't want to do this. Or a few years ago, my grandpa, who was like my dad, passed away and I had to take off 3 months because it just was such a hole in my heart. He's, oh my gosh, the greatest man I've ever met and will ever meet, right? And I had to heal that heart. And if I didn't have those automations going in my businesses, everything would have collapsed. And I think my grandpa was testing me because he did it during fourth quarter. He passed away during fourth quarter. And that's like the busiest season ever for e-commerce students. And so I was like, Grandpa, did you really have to die during fourth quarter? Could we have not done this this summer? He's such a good guy. Loved him. Great, great personality. But anyway, so yeah, I've learned over the years, automation saves your butt. Like 100% automation. And that's honestly, it can do the boring stuff that can feel monotonous to entrepreneurs. And once you build those, then you get into the creative space. And like you're like an ultimate creator. And I am too, to an extent, but I also like the boring stuff that works. I like it to be repeated over and over again. If it makes money, if it works, just keep doing it, right? So anyways, Kate, that was kind of a long, we've talked a lot in there about how it started. Dead iguanas to grandpas that passed away.
No, it is true though. Like think about how many floors of people you'd have to employ if something like Facebook or any kind of funnel tech or any kind of like didn't exist. The hundreds of people you'd have to employ to get the same result that something like social media can bring now, you know, or funnels or whatever. Like that's amazing. That's huge. What would you say? Like, I know that that's always like a scary, I remember it's just like all this fog. I didn't know how to launch. I didn't know how to get traffic. I didn't know how to get people, you know, interested in what I was doing. How did you cross that bridge for your first few businesses? I know that you have many, but like, how did you cross that bridge for the first few? And I'm sure it's evolved over time as well.
And it's fascinating because it's the same thing across all my businesses. In fact, I was doing it today because we are expanding, but it's a new launch. Whether it's your business, whether it's a product, it's still the same thing. I have what I call my 5x5 launch formula. It literally doesn't matter what you're selling. It still works across all businesses, affiliate, e-commerce, coaching. I've seen it work with Justin Bieber uses it. I've seen Taylor Swift use it. Like, everybody uses it. And so sometimes when we see things in the outside world, we have a hard time applying it to our businesses. Like, how would Taylor Swift does that? She's so big. She just got lucky. No, we learn. Oh my gosh. I've learned so much from Taylor Swift. Have you gone to a concert? Smart. Have you gone to a concert?
I haven't been to one, but she's a marketing genius.
Okay. You and Marley in France, 2024. Let's go.
Deal. All right. I'll be front row.
I took my daughters this summer and they thought we were going to enjoy the concert. Little did they know. I was like, oh no, this is a business lesson. I want 10 business points that you can see from this concert. They weren't too happy about that after, but I'm like, that's my payment. Tell me the business tactics you learned from Taylor Swift at this concert.
Do you do that with your kids? Because I started doing it with mine. It's like, he read a report. I gave him Rich Dad Poor Dad a few weeks ago. And I was like, hey, I'll give you, what X benefit, whatever it was. I want you to read this and write down a book report. And I was like, one of them is 5. Might be a little too early, but we'll still try.
I don't know. We have a whole list of things and books and podcasts, and they're all weighted differently. We have some books that we'll pay them $100 if they read. And then they have to do a report on PowerPoint presentation in front of the whole family.
Cool. Oh, that's way better than just a book report. I got to start that.
Yes, because we want them to public speak. We want them to get their thoughts out in their heads. And then we question them. We'll grill. Jared and I are like, really? Okay, that's what they said. How does this relate to your everyday life? Anyway. Okay, so yeah. So launching is the same across all businesses, right?
Yeah.
100%. And I learned this as a little girl when my sister and I were planning an amazing party. We had all the decorations done. Everything matched. Everything was perfect, right? The day of the party came and no one showed up. And it broke my heart. And my sister, good thing she was there. And we just kind of like wallowed in our pity as we ate the chocolate. And we're like, why didn't anybody come? And we realized we never sent out invitations. Why would anybody come? No one knew about it, right? Mm. And we're like, oh, we didn't send out invitations. And then as Kevin Costner builds or makes that show, what is it? The baseball one?
Oh.
Right on the tip of our tongue.
Yeah. I see the cover in my head.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, he has a famous phrase that says, if you build it, they will come.
Build the dreams.
Build dreams. You win. You win the prize.
Yeah.
You win the prize. And so I think as adults, we've learned that if you build it, they will come. We think it applies to our business. Kevin Costner. He needs to be fired. That show needs to be burned because I've seen too many entrepreneurs. Oh, I built my course. They're supposed to come. I've built my e-commerce store. They're supposed to come. And I'm like, well, nobody knows about it. Why would anybody come? No one knows about it. Yeah. And so you have to do things you have to send out those invitations. Just like my sister and I, we didn't send out the invitations. And so now launching any type of business, we treat it as though it's a party. We have to send out the invitations in advance. And then I'll give you some examples of that in a second. But if you don't send out the invitations, you're not going to get people. And then you're like, okay, that invitation worked. That invitation bounced. That invitation came back to me, right? And so you're just learning the best of the best. Of ways to get people to your party. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It makes sense because otherwise people have no idea. And I mean, my first launch ever, I just made a Facebook page and then invited people to it. And I thought that was a launch. I mean, it's not a launch.
Perfect. You know? So, right? You did something. I see some people that are way too scared to even invite people to a Facebook page.
Yeah.
And so at least you're moving forward, right?
Yeah.
But now we have the greatest. We don't have to start at ground zero anymore. Like, you know that feeling? Okay, tell me about the feeling when you put your first offer out there and you're inviting your friends and family to your offer. How'd that make you feel?
Excited and nervous at the same time. I felt a little weird. you know, to be inviting friends and family. Cause I didn't know, you know, it felt a very, it was exciting to have something created, but it felt weird that it was my friends and family that I was pitching.
Okay. I'm glad you're saying excited. I felt slimy. Like I could not send my stuff to my friends and family. It just like I'm invited to so many other business parties and okay. I faked so many illnesses to get out of those parties. I was like, I got a migraine. My kid's thrown up. Like
another iguana died.
I hated those. And so I couldn't put my friends and family in a position.
Yeah.
Because I love them. And if they listen to this podcast, I hope they don't like X me out forever. I love you. But I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And so I had to figure out a way to launch my businesses without having my friends and family know me. Mm. And so my first e-commerce business that I launched, my friends and family, I mean, Jared knew, my husband, but they didn't know for about 6 months. And it's the funniest story ever. I'll tell you, maybe we'll get to that in just a second. But what I did is I said, okay, what is my product and who would be buying it? Mm. And one of my first products was leftover crafting supplies because I didn't have any money to buy real product. So I just went down to my craft room to find whatever I could find, right?
Yeah.
Put that out. But then I went to, okay, who buys crafting supplies? I'm going to go to blogger, influencer, creator, anybody that has a following. Okay. Those names have changed throughout the years. Influencers kind of getting like a bad rap. Blogger seems like so old. So they're changing their name to creator now. In 5 more years, it'll be something else. We just kind of follow the trend of it, right? Yeah. And so I went to, it was a blogger at the time. And I said, hey, I know what you talk about crafting supplies. Let me give you a commission, right? Influencer type model, affiliate type model. And she's like, absolutely. And so she shouted out to her audience that she had been growing for years. And so I skipped ground zero. I went from a site with zero sales to selling out my very first day. Now, I only had 100, maybe 200 products on the site. I didn't have a lot, but I totally skipped ground zero because I partnered up with someone who had what I needed. And that was an audience, right? Mm. I had the product. She had the audience. We created a partnership. I think I paid her like 10%. And that's a whole new ballgame right there, right? Sure, and from day one, I started collecting emails. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that worked. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to do it again. And I did it again and again and again. And we had 1,000 affiliate influencers at the peak of that business before we ended up selling it. And so if you want to skip ground zero, you just leverage what you don't have, right? If you don't have an audience, that's okay.
They're still out there, though.
Yeah. And then when you approach these influencers, we're seeing a shift. Back in the day, it used to be like, hey, will you sell my product? I'll give you a commission. We get bombarded. So on one of my other sites, we've been running that for 15 years. We've got, over 2 million followers. That's why I know both. I've done e-commerce. I've done the affiliate marketing. I just know both sides of it, right? We get bombarded with so many emails and they come into my inbox and a lot of them are, you can just tell spam, 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 spam. But there's a few that stand out, right? And so now when people come to us and they're like, hey, let's create a partnership versus will you sell my product? Like, let's create a partnership, right? And so if you are a creator or if you're in e-commerce or if you're in dental work or wherever you're at, right? What is a complementary business, not competitor, a complementary business that you can team up with? They can give some input. You can give some input. You can run the thing, right? Because you're the brilliance behind this business idea. They're just giving you some input. And then you're going to skip that whole starting from ground zero.
Yeah, you skip all of that, which is interesting because that's like, I mean, P.T. Barnum never started a list from scratch. Even in his early career, he just leveraged the existing distribution channels.
Yeah.
By doing some kind of weird thing that would get their attention or partnering. Like, that's fascinating. That's so cool.
Like, think about it too. Like, that's what Jeff Bezos did. He had the website and the technology couldn't keep up with it. So he's like, let's partner with stores. Etsy, same thing. Apple and the apps partnered up with developers, right? And so if we can think like Jeff Bezos, like Steve Jobs, like the inventors of Etsy, and learn to partner up, we're going to grow so much faster. Steven, I didn't even post on my social when I started talking about courses and launching. I didn't post on my Instagram for 2.5-3 years about what I was doing. I didn't want to do that. and then we've even got like Facebook ads now, right? And I know some people have a love hate with Facebook ads. I'd rather pay influencers, you know, money versus Mark Zuckerberg. I think he has plenty of money, but there's a time and a place for it, right? And so if you don't want to try and win that social media algorithm, like, come on, maybe today I'll go viral, right? And you go viral on the wrong thing and it brings the wrong audience in. So you have a whole bunch of followers that don't even want your stuff, right?
That happened to me once. Yeah, it sucks.
Going viral is like...
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, "Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off?" And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, "What do you mean?" He repeated the question and said, "Well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad." I said, "Wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent?" I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, "We've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all." My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and managed the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go higher, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
Don't do it unless it's on your specific product. Yeah, don't do it just for funniness. It'll kill your reach in the future.
Yeah.
So, anyway, yeah, that's how I skip. That's the fastest way is, what is my product? Who is it going to serve? Which lives are going to be changed? And then how can I team up with someone to help me to accomplish that goal? Maybe it's Mark Zuckerberg. I like influencers, but I think there's a place for each of them, right?
Yeah.
Totally place.
Yeah. I totally believe that. And, you know, I was thinking the other day, like, what my top business regrets have been, which I think is a cool exercise for anyone to do. And I started looking backwards, as long as it's not done like in a negative way. And I was going through what they were. And there's a handful that just popped out. And honestly, one at the top was the fact that I was solo for too long. I did not collaborate. I didn't do partners for very, like, and really that's where the whole Dream 100 thing comes from. And I've even heard Russell say several times, like, if you can't identify who those partners will be, he won't even do the business. What a key piece to know. And that's awesome how you really leverage that as part of each of these businesses getting off the ground. So, okay, you go through and you're creating partners. I'm taking notes. Sorry, so I'm looking at them here, but you're going through and you're creating partnerships in these different businesses, skipping chapter one because of that.
Chapter one, two, and three.
Yeah, like a ton. I mean, you get the audience, there's immediate credibility. You're getting someone else to shout you out. And
oh, can we go back to the credibility real quick?
Yeah.
Okay, you know when you buy a Gap shirt, it says like established in 1949 or something like that. That's where they get their credibility, right? Is how many years they've been in business for a long time. We look at other businesses, right? And let's say an influencer talks about them, they get instant credibility. It's not they have to wait years and years and years. You have someone that people look up to, They have instant credibility. So they're, we can shrink time down to nothing. We don't need to wear an established 1949 sweatshirt, right? We don't have to do that anymore. We get cool people to talk about it. And the thing is, people are like, influencers are saturated. It's going to stop. No, influencers have been going since the beginning of time. I bought a box of freaking Wheaties because Mary Lou Retton was on the front of it. I talked my parents into buying me that when I was a kid. No kid liked, no adult likes Wheaties. I don't even know how that I still sell that cereal. Like Mary Lou Retton got me to buy. She was an influencer in the Wheaties, right? Mm-hmm. Michael Jordan, three generations of shoes, right?
Pretty good.
As long as there's humans on the planet, there's going to be influencers. So why not partner up with them? And then the cool thing is with social media, we don't have to go after the big ones. The small ones actually are converting for us better.
Like, I have found that like the A-level influencers are hard to hit because they're so big. The B's mm-hmm. want to be A's, but if I can go for the C's, they're like really ticked that they're C and they know they're aware that they're C. So they take so many deals and they're just like the easiest category to go after. They're not a big reach, but you can get volume.
Oh, I think their audience are so connected to them and they haven't, they're so sincere still. It's not all about money. It's about growth and community. But I think that's why they convert so well. But yeah, we look for influencers around like 1 to 10. Very rarely do we go over 100,000. Not crazy.
1 to 10,000? Wow. So like that's, wow.
Nano.
Okay.
Nano, like super nano. You get more yeses, they're less expensive. And then the cool thing is you get to grow with them, right? They're just learning, you're just learning. This is for when you launch, right? You're learning, they're learning. And then you create this really cool relationship. I've got a friend who, when she first got started, she had like 10,000 followers, a t-shirt company reached out to her. She got a free t-shirt. She thought she was like hit the lottery. She was so excited. Now she's got like 700,000. And just promotes this t-shirt company because they believed in her for free. She doesn't charge them. And I was like, that is so cool, right? You grow, you get to grow together. And that's where true partnerships, we're not talking about speed dating here. We're talking about long-term relationships here with these influencers or creators. That's what people want, is a long-term relationship.
Interesting. You know, I've always tried to leverage the power of affiliates, but influence is a very different category.
It's an influencer, but they use affiliate technology. And so it's kind of interchangeable in a way. But
one's like a JV and the other's someone who just knows how to send traffic.
Yeah. And you really just want to focus on those people who believe in the product. And if they've got their signature on it, or like I've had students take their product and just put a branded sticker on the box. And say, this is inspired by whatever influencer it is. It works. So anyway, those are just a few couple tricks about how to launch quickly and not have to wait years and try and build credibility. It can be like within the week, you can get going. You don't have to wait. And I'm impatient. And I think entrepreneurs are impatient. We want everything done yesterday.
Yesterday.
Right. And so this just... technology, we're so freaking blessed. Like, look at us. We're sitting on here recording, and some people are like a bunch of people are going to listen to this. And so I just think it's really cool. Really, really cool.
It's super powerful, you know, and it's interesting. Thanks for sharing those tips, because I think one of the biggest reasons people don't go try to do some kind of launch, even if they've been in business and they don't build like some kind of pressure events that's exciting with anticipation. A lot of people won't even attempt because they're like, oh, I need a list in order to launch. But I think most don't recognize that you build a list from a launch. It's the act of pulling together the things that are out there. And the list comes from the act of launching, not beforehand. And of course, you'll get to leverage it later on. But this is such a great way to shortcut that without going through the pain of just trying to build a list in order to launch to it. That's such a slow way to do this game. Just one more question here with this. Like, I wanted to ask, could you give a few tips on your favorite ways that you like to kind of evergreen or automate one of these? Because I think something, I'm just trying to like nail the things that are consistently the problems that I see happening in the internet marketing world, which is that a lot of people don't transition from a promotion to a real business. And so they just keep doing another promotion. And I'm not slamming that at all. You can make a ton of money with it, but Any insights you could lend on how you automate or evergreen something that you have launched? I think that will help people kind of get rid of the entrepreneur marketer hat and kind of graduate to a business owner, which is where you really should go to.
Yeah. And I think you have to do it manually at first, right? Mm-hmm. I see a lot of people just go in and they think they're going to evergreen everything, but you have to get feedback from people,
sure.
Whether you're launching e-commerce, whether you're whatever it is, a digital product, a coaching, be there and listen. What do they need? When are you having people fall off? What are they clicking out on? If you don't show up for the game, you don't know what plays you need to change. You just look at the scoreboard at the end and you're like, oh, I didn't make anything. That sucks. To find out you didn't even freaking pick up the ball, right? Like, you have to play the game. You have to be willing to show up and play the game. And then you watch for patterns, right? And I think about it like this. So what I like to do is when I launch, this is like me creating a recipe. I'm like, okay, if I'm trying to figure out the perfect cookie recipe. And so I'm putting all the ingredients out. I need this, 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 and this, and this. And then after I do it a couple times, I'm like, oh, okay, I found out that I don't need as much sugar and I need more chocolate chips, because that's why you make chocolate chip cookies, is for the chocolate, right? Like, who puts in raisins in their cookie? Like, bleh. Okay. Anyway,
weirdos. Yeah.
Weirdos. Give me the chocolate. Okay. So I'm sorting to make sure I've got the perfect cookie, right? The perfect recipe. And so then once I have the recipe, I replicate it a couple more times to make sure it's good. And then what I do is I build that into my SOP, my standard operating procedure. That's like me creating the cookbook. And then I can go and hand someone else a cookbook and say, okay, make the cookies, get the same results. Let's make the cookies. And so number one, I think those, some of the things that I've done with that, because I run Evergreen, I've had an Evergreen running for 6 years, maybe 7 years, which has been fabulous. We've got SOPs around it, right? So the number one thing, you have to have humans in there. Mm-hmm. I know AI is getting better, but if you can have humans in there that can see things that are happening, but if you have an SOP, it's great. They just follow it, right? They can check it, checklist it off. So I'm a big believer in hiring and building those recipe books as soon as you can, because then you get that off your plate. And it might not be technology based, but for me, it's automation based. Right? Mm-hmm. If people will show up when I want to be creative, or I want to go out there and do a new launch or whatever, it's okay, because the business can keep running and I can stay in my zone and then they can stay in their zone of excellence. But you've got to have a solid cookbook. You have to have a solid cookbook, or you're going to get frustrated. It's not going to run. And then you're just going to quit and go back to a 9-to-5 job. Blech. You know what? I would get fired from a 9-to-5 job at this point.
I would too.
I could not do it. Okay. And then another thing is, when you're working with influencers, creators, or even you, and you're creating posts or you're creating ads or whatever you're doing, the ones that convert, treasure those.
Hold them back. Yeah. Reserve them.
Yeah. And then you run it either on an ad, you run it, like you drop it in your social, in an email, whatever. And then when it starts to tire out, just put a new thumbnail on it. We've run an ad since, when did we go to the Mexico retreat with Russell? It was like 2 years ago, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, you're going to die. I die. So a gal, Kristen, what's her last name? Darling, the ad gal.
Morel.
Kristen Morel. Yeah. She was talking about ads and she's like, just create one. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to go. So fully clothed, I go into, we're at this beautiful retreat and they've got this hot tub, bathtub thing on the outside of our hotel room. So I go fully clothed and I sit in the bathtub and I prop my camera up and I record. It's got this bright pink wall behind me. And I'm like, I'm hiding because my kids are too loud. And they were in the other side. I shut the door. I'm like, I'm hiding out here because my kids are too loud. And then I did my spiel. And then I went out and tested it. We are still running that ad today. It has made us multiple millions of dollars. And so anytime like Facebook, like the conversions go down or click-through rates go down, I go back in and I just put a new thumbnail and a new call to action on it. And I've done that with probably our 30 top ads. I just, because if they're good, keep them going. You just need to, I think Facebook after a while, I don't know, hearsay, someone else smart post online the other day that they saw the same thing, that Facebook memorizes your ads and then stops showing it to people. I don't know. They have all sorts of sneaky things over there, right?
They do.
If we can just put a new thumbnail on it, and that takes 2 seconds, that's going to save you so much time. So that's another thing that we've done to help with automating like our ads and like our really good influencer content. We will just repurpose those with new covers. And then like when you start posting on social media, like just do that in your social media. And I don't know, every 3 months, do the same post. No one remembers what you posted. I mean, they don't even remember what they had for dinner last night. They're not going to remember.
I do that with, I do the promotion emails. Like I'll pull something that worked 6 months ago and run the exact same sequence. People are like, this is genius. I'm like, you liked it last time. So
I know. And I think we're so stuck in, I've got to create something new, something new. No, you create what, or just do what works, right?
Yeah.
Do what works. And I think that's another, like entrepreneurs, we're so highly distracted. We're so looking for the next new flashy thing that we forget to stop and be like, hey, wait, what really works? Ah, that works. Let's just do it again.
Do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those are a couple things. I mean, there's ManyChat. ManyChat's amazing to be able to collect emails. Wow. And then you're just your average, just your normal technology that everybody knows about, right? Setting up your email sequences and your evergreen webinars and stuff like that. Just some of those things that I've noticed that help me to keep things running when I'm off in Allison land creating or driving my kids to swim practice or whatever in the devil I'm doing for the day. SOPs for sure. And then how to keep reusing the material that works.
I think it's really powerful though, leaning into the idea of creating a cookbook, because too often I think we sprint straight to the tech and we don't leave behind the fact that there's a user's manual for the tech that we can truly replicate yourself. I know Tim Ferriss said that in the 4-hour work week, he's his own support for like 2 months for any new thing he puts out. That way he can immediately react to the customer, build an SOP book, also help, you know, improve delivery. Like it's just, he's on the ground floor. And then after that, he'll hand that playbook to a support person. And that really is, I think, the coolest way to make transition from a promotion to a real business per position, key roles.
Yeah, I think you're literally losing millions and millions of dollars if you're not willing to do that. Tim does it a lot faster than I do. Usually takes me like 6 months to a year before I hand off key pieces. But I mean, he's done it for a lot longer than I have, but I'm getting faster at it. But I think you really need to understand your customer. And then you just, whatever they write in the problems, then you can turn that around and use as an ad, a copy, you know, put it in your webinar, wherever you want it, like use their verbiage. What are they struggling with? Use it. I love newbies. They remind me of my junior high students, like so excited. Their eyes are full of light, but they're just like all over the place. And I'm like, "Woo, come back here." Like I love them so incredibly much. I love newbies. And so that's what I focused my business on. And I didn't, at first I thought I wanted established businesses, but then as I started listening to their comments and what I really loved, I gravitated towards the new students. So
I like working with the new people to a point. It's when they start saying, oh, this isn't going to work. And I'm like, I literally have tens of thousands of case studies that it does. So shut up. That's where I start to lose my patience.
That's my favorite when they say that. Or like, I'm going to quit. I'm like, I thought that today too. You know what? I think I've thought that every single day of my freaking life, I'm going to quit. But I didn't. Yeah. Why? Because the pain of being poor was a lot more than the pain of me showing up.
Yeah.
So you get to choose. Are you going to quit?
Yeah. It's that stuff. And it's like suddenly my fault. And I just, now I'm like an enabler. Like, you're going to quit? Cool. See ya. I'm not going to push you any further. I'm going to go as far as you swim.
Let me give you another piece of advice that saved my sanity for that. So, you know, life coaches, we actually hired some, Brooke Castillo graduates of the life school. And so when anybody came in and was like, Allison sucks, they're like, no, Allison's program doesn't work. They were able to say, is it Allison's program that doesn't work? Or is it you that's not doing the work?
That's not doing the work.
So we bring in momentum, we call them momentum coaches, but they're graduates of life coach to help people get in their head that no, it's your thoughts. It's not, Allison's program has been proven over and over and over and over again. And sometimes they twist it. And then if they're paying us the money, we become the villains. And we're not. We make people millionaires and then we make people hate us. Like, it's the same exact information, right? Same exact information. And so I brought in, that's another piece, like to help manage the thoughts, because we don't know what we don't know yet. We don't know that the thoughts in our heads don't actually have to be the thoughts we have to think until we go through them. Like I say, the entrepreneur process of discovering who you really are, because man, this is a huge life lesson, right?
It'll do it. Can't not. Yeah.
So I love having those life coaches in our program to help people say, do you really have to believe that? Can we let that go? So
yeah, I don't know. It's such a key piece. It's so funny. When during the One Funnel Away Challenge, we all thought I was going to be teaching marketing, but what actually ended up happening was I started teaching more mindset. And funny enough, that's where the five-year-old and the Ferrari comes from.
Where it's like, such a good story.
All right. You know, this is got to teach the parallel journey, the one you don't know you're going through, which is really the mind junk, while you're teaching going through the real one, you know? So I'm all for that. I'm really grateful though, to have you speak at Offer Launch. And I'm psyched to go through more of this, you know, 5x5 and the automation piece. Cause I think there's this dance, like we're talking about now, between learning the thing and then growing internally while we try to do the thing. And that like first step, the scary, open the door for the first time to actually start the journey, it really kind of hyperspeed for entrepreneurship, you know?
For sure. So, for sure. And then I just talked to you about the like step one and two of that five by five I have. But there are some key pieces that I've learned on step number five. If you do, you double more than likely. Let me put an asterisk because it's not guaranteed. But every time I've done it, I've doubled what I sold on day one.
What? Open loop.
Open loop right there. And I'll talk to you about it, or I'll talk at the event about it, but it is so crucial. And I've had students say, no way. And they do it and they're like, I love you. Like, you don't love me. You love the process. And then they're hooked. Like, there's just little things we can do to maximize all this effort and energy that we're putting out into the world. And so many people miss it. And when I'm going through other people's funnels to buy their product, or I don't know, buying stuff online and they don't have those pieces, I just want to reach out and be like, can I help you make more money? Just do one little thing. But I did it to one lady and it was really awkward. And so I'm like, okay, when the student is ready, the teacher will be found.
Yeah.
But you can't push it on people. But I'm like, oh, you are literally missing out on hundreds of thousands of dollars. Anyway, I was like, I just want to help.
It's so tough as a helper and a creator to watch that and then be like, okay, it's all right. You know, I feel like God does the same thing with us. Like, all right, well, he wants to like spin his wheels for a little while and run against the wall. I get that. Makes sense.
Yep.
Can't shove this down into his brain.
Oh, I know. Gosh. I know. And sometimes they're not ready for it. We're not ready for it. So we have to be careful with it. I'm excited to come and spill the rest of the beans. So.
Be awesome. October 26th through the 28th, and stoked to have you speak. You're a dear friend of mine, and it's been so fun and inspiring to watch everything that you do. And it's fun to follow you and everything that you are going after. And you've clearly cracked the launch and the automation formula, and it's going to be a blessing to all of us to hear what you have to say.
I'm excited. I'm excited to listen to all the other speakers too. Like, I may be on the front row, so anybody else, go and watch out. I may be throwing elbows to sit on that front row because you have an amazing lineup of speakers.
It's pretty epic. I feel very blessed. Yeah.
I'm very, very excited.